Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
I'm half afraid of this cup of coffee.
Why?
Because I went into this shop and I
said... Rocket fuel.
Yeah, I said, give me... I did a show last week. So I'm trying to put this new stand-up show together and I did... It's hard, but Billy Connolly said, I only have one cup of coffee a day and I have it just before I go on stage. Really, really strong. And he says, I love going on stage angry and I love shouting. And he'd never know what he was going to say before he went on stage. And he'd take this kind of mega boost of caffeine. And he'd just, hello! But he'd be flying on the coffee buzz. So I says, I'll try that now. So I tried it last week and it worked.
How long before?
Oh, just before you go on.
Like, and you'll have an immediate buzz.
Well, yeah, but you'd have the last of it swallowed 10 minutes before you start. Okay.
And how strong was the coffee?
I had a treble espresso.
Heart palpitating stuff.
Yeah, but you'd be palpitating anyway from going on stage.
Is that not disconcerting?
But that's what it is. It's
you want to be disconcerted.
Well, no, because you want to be in broadcast mode. And that's what the coffee... I always thought the coffee made my thoughts a bit too fractured.
Right.
Which is why I would never have a coffee before... Usually before a podcast or before the chat show or any other thing. Or an interview. But I tried this for the stand-up. I said, okay, I'll try this. Because you had to take advice from Billy. And it worked. So then I went into this... the Algerian coffee shop in Covent Garden. And it just looks like the most... Do you know in London you get these small, tiny shops?
Mm.
And it's like...
they sell call cards and...
No, not those ones. No, the ones where they're just like... They've been there for 40 years. It wouldn't be much bigger now than the snug of an old bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just packed with strange things. Yeah. So there's a coffee, one of them, in Soho in London. And I went in and I said, look... I told them what I was looking for.
Ammunition.
What I needed. And she said, I've got two different types for you. Blow your mind.
Did you tell her that you need stuff before you go on stage?
Yes.
And what did she say? She said, I think I've seen you somewhere before.
No, she didn't. No, she wouldn't be a fan. And I said to her, oh, I told her what I wanted. And she gave me this. And this is my first cup of it now. So
Algerian.
So
coffee. No. That's the Algerian coffee stores.
Okay.
But there's coffee from all over the world.
So at any point... Sure, the next few minutes you could explode and turn.
So if
into
I get a bit hyper, just that's what's happening.
I can feel it starting already.
Doesn't Dave?
Let's get this podcast started.
Is this better than? I was going to say, is this better than sex? Is it better than alcohol?
Do you know what a question I asked myself that made myself laugh this morning.
Okay, well, go on. Now, see if you can make us laugh.
It's not relevant to my life, but it's. I thought it's an interesting question to ask a man as you get older. Which would you prefer, sex or shepherd's pie?
Oh, for fuck's sake. No teeth, shepherd's pie.
on a wet Wednesday afternoon when you're freezing and you come into the kitchen. And you're cold and you're hungry.
Anyway, moving on. But anyway, so...
Are men not always in tap on the shoulder mode for sex?
No.
Like Larry David said once.
That's only the men...
Tap me on the shoulder, I'm ready to go.
That's only the men that know you, Larita.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. I have that effect.
We'll see how the cup of coffee goes. I've had it half swallowed now, and I like it. But it's that thing of always.
And does it taste strong, or is it just going to have a different? Like,
I don't know.
Does it taste nice? He'll be doing
so. It's strong now, yeah.
I think so.
I've drank some good cups in my
me,
time.
No.
Coffee abroad.
Coffees.
I've drank some really strong coffee in certain places abroad.
Where?
Abroad, out foreign. I'm not going to tell you the places because it's out foreign. But coffee depends how you have you put milk in that and sugared it up.
No sugar.
No.
Just no milk. Sugar. No. The worst place in the world to get coffee has to be hands down America. The worst.
And Canada with that Dick Turpins or Dick Hortons.
Tim Hortons.
Dick Horton was their mechanical drone.
Or do we have Tim?
No. I don't like Tim Hortons. Never liked it. Couldn't get into it.
Oh, the American stuff is the rank.
Tim Hortons would, what I said about one time.
Tim Hortons, paint stripper.
It would remind you of coffee.
Dave Grohl, the Foo Fighters from the Foo Fighters and drummer with Nirvana on the Nevermind album, got seriously addicted to coffee. He went through an awful phase when he gave up the drink, where he was on 5 and 6 pots of coffee in the studio every day, and it just became outrageous. He couldn't do anything without coffee in his hand, and even in the studio they couldn't make anything without him drinking copious amounts of coffee, and he turned into a fucking
he must have been
freak
on the toilet full time.
But maybe when you're making Foo Fighters records, you need this yes coffee. So
where did you, so when you talk about different parts of the world that you had coffee, where do you,
Sudanese coffee be strong now, African coffee strong,
would they make it different?
Yeah, it's just black Cuban coffee.
Would you squat in the ground and then kind of
squat after it?
You wouldn't need to squat.
That's a vital there. You're in the minibus about half an hour later and Roscoe's anywhere. And you know, there's really nowhere to go. We've had really occasions where there's nowhere to get a really nice number two, and you have to find a temple somewhere.
Temple?
Yeah, we found a temple once in Myanmar. Roscoe's in a bad way, and he said he was running out of the car park, and I was trying to get all in Buddhist mode in a beautiful temple in Myanmar, and Roscoe was making a beeline for the.
But now, speaking of Myanmar, I have to ask you
About the Rohingya people.
No, about the tattoo on your back.
Yes.
So your entire back is covered, from the nape of your neck to your coccyx.
We've spoken about this before.
We're going to talk about it again, because I have a question for you. So you never see the tattoo.
No, I never see.
So what's the point?
I see it because, like, what's his name, Frank Formaldehyde in Hannibal. What was your man's name, the Red Dragon? Frank Formaldehyde. When he sees himself in the mirror right near the end.
Oh, yeah. Ray Fiennes.
Yeah, where he catches himself in the mirror every few minutes.
And do you check yourself in the mirror?
I would catch myself. Sometimes I take my top off in the main street and just catch myself in the Penny's window. Yes.
So it's a full, you've the full back done. Mm.
But
I was just curious about it because if you never see a tattoo that you have, what's the
because I never ever what's the ever point saw any of my tattoos till the one I put on my arm.
Yeah.
When Freddie passed away.
Yeah.
I never saw any of my tattoos. They were my private possessions.
But they weren't even your possessions because you didn't see them.
They're on my body, Tommy.
But you didn't see them.
I do. I see them when I go into the shower. I see them when I'm coming out and the wardrobe door is ajar and the mirror is there. I see them when I turn and I see them in photographs when the kids take photographs of daddy in the swimming pool.
Okay,
I see them in when I'm going in the gym and go to the gym and I'm walking past the mirror and there's a mirror behind me and a mirror there. I know it's there. So,
okay.
Why do you like getting tattoos?
When I'm in the gym and the lads are changing, it's fascinating to see the way people have put body ink on them. There's a lad that comes into the gym that I go to from. He must be in his early 50s. He's been on a building site all his life. He's from Ballyban, from Raheelan Glebe, right? Which is inner Ballyban, right? There's Ballyban and there is inner Ballyban. A working class old school part of Galway.
Old Galway.
And the tattoos on his body of pictures of his mother.
Oh, yeah.
And crucifixes and dates and portraits of a dog and the mother. And they're going, I'm fascinated by people. And you can see like 11th of the 6th, 1986, mom never, you know. And it's amazing to see the tattoos that people have put on their bodies, especially if they lost somebody or whatever. But I just think, and especially back tattoos are bigger pieces. They're more, people who put tattoos on their back are almost looking for, I don't know, is it a bit of punishment because it's a bigger canvas?
It takes longer.
It's hitting off the back of the rib cage.
The skin, your kidneys as well.
On your kidneys, but the top of the skin above your bottom has never been seen by the light of day. The only time you see your that part of your body is when you're beside the lava lamp with your missus in the bed sit in the 1980s.
That's but is all tattoos not a form of some sort of torture?
It is punishment.
Yeah, why?
It's just our, it's what our tribe does.
Whose tribe?
Our tribe, the tribe of people in the West.
It's not. People all over the world get tattoos.
Yeah, but
I'm saying, why do you get them?
But our tribe, people in the West of west of Western culture now, get tattooed. That's part of our culture now. And it's, they're all strange personal tattoos. There's no real, like the Maori people, they have, their tribal tattoos are a bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Not generic, but there's a kind of a, you know what I'm trying to say? And I'm sure that...
Their culture.
In other tribes that have specific tattoos that the people get, like, you know,
the line,
is it a
the three lines going down, yes, that the Inuit, yeah, people might, yes, get, or, you know, there's but our tribe, the tribe of people in the West, our tribe now is getting its individual tattoos. What does this tattoo mean to you as an, yeah, individual? We don't have those.
We didn't have the art of, we were making manuscripts and we were putting our creative stuff on stone walls and we were on stones and on trees. And we weren't putting any markings on our body,
why now,
per se, in the Celtic culture. We marked other things, but we didn't mark our bodies in our culture. And that's the only difference. If we did, we would be full of it if we had.
But are they addictive or something? Because you very rarely see someone who has just one tattoo. Most people have, like, if they have a tattoo, they've got 10 tattoos.
What I'm fascinated by now is I see loads of people now and they, yeah, but they've got little tiny ones.
Loads of tiny, small, unconnected
ones. Unconventional, different, and it's just becoming little mosaics, almost little. And it's incredible. I'm just fascinated by people.
Like emojis.
I was standing in a butcher's in Dominic Street last week and I was in buying a bit of meat and Paul came out and he's the boss of a new butcher's. He's only a young lad called Hickey's Butchers and he started. It's a splintered. It's risen out of the ashes out of Collarans. But anyway, he's a big lad. He's a big fighter. He's a UFC head and he's a big man and he loves his boxing and he loves his fighting, cage fighting, and he's been always fit and he's 6 foot one. And we stood there before I ordered and he goes, I'm nearly finished the back. And he just showed me on his back and he's a young butcher. And he just lifted up his T-shirt and his back is huge. And he had this shogun samurai warrior coming out the side of it and then a temple in the middle. And it was like he's after been in since January for 40 hours work on his back. But the pride in it and talking about it.
And do they cost a lot of money?
They did cost thousands. Tattoos, a tattoo that big would cost well over a grand.
But they're not an investment because you can't sell them on, and your body's not going to be sold at any point unless you.
No, but it's the way the way he spoke about it. So proud that he was putting this on his back, that he was marking himself.
But people will see his because he's a fighter.
Well, yeah, but he's always in tattoos, but this is his biggest piece. So why do people mark? For me, these are markings. I'm marking myself.
Yeah.
I'm marking myself to symbolise something within me.
But is it not torture? Is it not, it's not torture.
It's going to be painful, but it's not torture. Do you know what I mean? It's not the Americans don't use it as a technique to get information out of Palestinians.
It's a ritual. I know on the Friday the 1st of March, I'm down in Limerick again and I'm getting another tattoo. And I'm I'm down with Dara in Black Valley Tattoos.
And what are you getting?
I'm going to get the other arm done here with more signification. I'm into circle symbols at the moment. It's all symbols to me. Circular symbols.
Do you ever think like, oh, I'm going to regret them in 30 years time?
Oh, I'll.
Probably. Who gives a fuck?
I won't care about that. Who cares?
Years' time, he'll be 85.
I'll be sitting in the snow.
You'll be all wrinkly.
No, but there's no regret. There's no need for that. It's just markings. It is the greatest, without doubt, the hour after leaving the tattoo parlour is one of the greatest self-satisfaction moments that I've done it. It's mine. Nobody can take it. It's my present. It's me. I've been thinking about it. It's on me now. It's in me and it's on me and I'm happy.
And you feel different?
I feel happy.
Should I get a tattoo? What kind of a tattoo?
On your neck.
On your neck.
Down the front of my neck.
I tell you, London, oh my God. Oh. The women with neck tattoos. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Is it good? Do you like it?
Oh my God, some of them were gorgeous. Roses and just a rose going up your neck. Oh, lads, let me pull in.
Or your mother.
My mother on my neck?
Yeah.
No.
Or your grandfather or your dog or...
or whatever, but they're just amazing. It was mainly...
So are some tattoos turn-ons and some others? So if you saw a woman her grandmother and her family tattooed around her neck, you wouldn't like that?
You take her seriously. But it's just, you do get more... When you're thinking of the circles now for your arm, where are you getting the ideas from?
It's just because I have two massive circles on the chest and
Celtic circles
and one of them in the Mandela for Ganesh. So circles to me are very, very prevalent in symbols, and I want to encompass a symbol in a circle.
Yep, not just mandala. It's not a mandala.
It's a Mandela. It's a Mandela to me.
Nelson.
Is there Wiki Tear?
Can you get coloured tattoos like that?
My
back's.
Yeah, but can you get some colours in your arms?
I like black and white on the arms. But they're the first tattoos I've ever seen. Even though I got my first tattoo at 17 in the Mint in Talbot Street in Dublin. Now I can see the tattoos. I can see you when you're talking on the chat show. I'm focusing in on your hands, right?
Yes.
You have an awful habit.
Nobody's looking at your face.
You have an awful habit
hands.
To go like this, and now you're starting to do this rubbing underneath the lip. And
I'm thinking.
Yeah, but you're rubbing underneath the lip, and I'm often going up to the telly and I'm going, stop that now.
Stop fingering yourself.
You're starting to go like this. Look, yeah. Stop that rubbing, right? But then I'm looking at your hands.
Yes.
But your hands are symbols of...
What?
Isn't it interesting that the... RTE now, and this isn't about me, this is about the Ireland, I think, that we now have a chat show, the main chat show on Saturday night, where the host has tattooed hands. Like, that's not usual.
You would not have got away with that years ago.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's not...
taboo anymore.
Not at all. No.
Can you get a job in the bank next with your tattoo hands?
But no, can you? And Gardaí can have tattoos. This is a huge moment. You can have a tattoo.
Will a guard look more frightening with the tattoo?
I think
a big
guard
one on his face.
Might be more clued into what's going on in the street with tattoos.
Tell us about the circles you're going to get then. Where's the idea for coming from? Are you designing it yourself or are you getting help?
I don't want to be unbalanced. I don't want to be unbalanced with the three.
Are you going to get the same type of thing?
Yeah, be two major ones and then probably another Celtic symbol at the end.
Good man.
Your wife and kids or something?
No. I'm not.
Well, not their faces, but like... you could.
No.
Class of 92.
The class. yeah, David, so I'm Beckham. Excited. I'm down and I've got a date booked in and it's. I'll be down there early and I will have a coffee before I go in and we'll put on the music and we'll turn
How
it
How long
off.
Will you be there for?
I'll be there for 4 or 5 hours and it'll go, right, big deep breath, here we go. And then you hear that.
I watched it in slow motion the other day, a video of it, like, and putting the ink in, and it was like showing it and like it was slowed down.
It's
but it wasn't
so
it.
Prevalent at the moment.
Yeah, it was scary.
I can't wait for my boys now to say to me, Dad, I think I'm ready for a tattoo. And I think that's a brilliant step for them. And if they want to go, and I'll go with them. I don't want to go to a good artist. And I just think it's an adventure for them. And a year on from the hands tattooed now, how do you feel about them?
I'll get more done, I think. The bird and the bell are getting a bit lonely looking.
And what will you put in beside them?
I don't know. I could get maybe a...
like a hedgehog?
Maybe a cat looking at the board or
a
something.
A message or something on your thumb.
Is there any way you'll go back?
How do you mean?
You have your back as a canvas, is it?
Yeah, but see, I'd never see me back. That's why I was asking you about yours. I'd never see it.
What about the leg?
Oh, yes.
Have you any on your legs?
No, but I think I will get the whole tie done.
What are you going
to
get?
From the groin to the knee.
Oh, for total.
Well, like a rose or
a picture of the Meade team in 1996.
Oh, can you imagine? I tell you one thing,
I met Liam Harnon standing like that.
Wouldn't fit me leg, Hector.
Oh, the Meade
I need more legs than my own.
Colm O'Rourke, right down the side of your leg.
Colm coming on with the bandage on his head.
Brian Stafford and little Bernie Flynn and with the front and all the boys. Yeah.
Colm Coyle.
I'm going to get a tattoo of Tommy Dowd's shoulders on my own shoulders.
10 days ago, I drifted into Netflix again and I'm searching and we can't find it. And we go into Prime and then we come out of Apple and we go in. And that's just all too much. I'm just going, it's all too much.
You're burdened.
So the key to that is, Hector?
What?
Old movies.
I need to do something,
old
Tommy.
Old movies.
Westerns.
Stuff from the 70s. Political American stuff from the 70s. It's fucking brilliant. The Parallax Jacks.
Like the Icarus Files.
The Poseidon Adventure. They're the best films
ever.
Like
A Thousand Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, yes.
Around the World in 80 Days.
No, they're about 60s. I'm talking about like Gene Hackman.
Oh, yeah.
Al Pacino.
Oh, yeah.
Young De Niro.
I did drift
all
in. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I will. So, unfortunately, then, I don't know why it came up, because I do like me crime, but I like evil, and I like bad, and I like blood. And then Hannibal popped up. And I said, have I watched it? and then Mads Mikkelsen.
Is this Hannibal the series?
Yeah.
And is it good?
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Is it?
I'm now on just 20, there's 12 episodes in first, so that's 12 hours. Then there's 12 in the second, that's 24 hours. I'm now on 11 in season 3, and I've done it in about 10 days. I am now binging.
Is it smart?
I am now watching one of the great performances from Mads Mikkelsen, right?
The Carlsberg man.
Mads the Carlsberg man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is. Lawrence Fishburne is in it. He plays the boss from the FBI. But Hannibal Lecter, as done by Mads Mikkelsen, I know Hopkins was great in his moment, but this is.
Brian Cox did it as well.
Is this a new one now, Hector?
No, it's old.
It's old, and I don't know why I never stumbled on it. The murders are great.
Where did you find it?
It's on Netflix. The murders are really good.
Oh, love that.
They string people up in trees and hang.
Oh, I love it.
Antlers off their heads, and if you
does he eat their guts?
Yes, he does. But then you could find always the FBI. It cuts to this building, and there's always a picture like The Exorcist of a building. Baltimore fucking high security penitentiary for psychiatric patients. And next minute, then. Clicks, there's an FBI guy taking a shot. What have we got here? And then we go, well, we found 11 bodies here and the antlers were here. And then it's just gruesome.
And is it in the ice and the snow?
It's gruesome, it's gruesome, it's gruesome. The murders are gruesome. But then
is there any fingering in it? Or?
Lecter is a genius in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the way he cooks and the way he moles the meat from his victims, it is done so arty. Like, it's beautiful stainless steel cutting through fresh
and
liver.
Is he working? He's also a psychiatrist, isn't he?
Yes, and it's Dr. Lecter, and he's a well-known but every night he invites people over to the house, and it's
and they're eating.
Oh yes, but he does it really
liver.
You know when you're in a tapas bar in Madrid and they're cutting off the fucking ham, the parmahan, and it's beautiful, and it's little this and a bit of cheese, and he goes every time Hannibal comes into the room, then he goes. In the 60s in Cyprus, the local farmers would do, how do you do a Copenhagen accent? Well, he's a little. In the 1960s in Malta, they said if you cooked the blood of a sheep in the nostrils of a bull with the testicles of a thing, they said it would give it more flavour. And then everyone looks up going, what's he on about? But then when they taste it, it's beautiful. But man,
they like it.
When they taste it, it's the postman.
They fucking love it.
And do they have Chianti with
the
it?
The classical music and everything is going. He is a brilliant, brilliant actor. He's from Copenhagen. He's in the Carlsberg ad. And he was a baddie in Casino Royale for James Bond.
Yeah.
He played Le Chiffre. But he was a gymnast and a dancer in his early days. And I've become fascinated with this guy because I think he's got a mug on him. He's just an evil bastard in Hannibal. And his mags. And because I know Denmark through Freddie in Copenhagen, and we know the Carlsberg ad, if you want to work, he drives 3 full series on his own. If you like macabre, am I right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Macabre. Blood and.
Is it a bit too gory? Is it a bit
no,
too
it's not. Well, Dibner walks in sometimes and goes, oh, for Christ.
But you know you're eating, they're eating humans.
Yeah, but he's brilliantly, it's brilliant. He's brilliant.
And then okay, I'll try
the it. The FBI get close to him and he relocates to Vienna and Austria and he starts killing people there. It's just the way he kills people.
Is he any crack?
Oh, he's good.
He sounds like he's great.
He just knows everything about everything. He knows everything about everything. He's very entertaining. And your one is in it from Twin Peaks. What's her name? Twin Peaks.
Laura Dern.
No, not Laura. What's her name? She's fucking very famous. And she's this other psychiatrist. She's Hannibal's psychiatrist. And she's beautiful.
The psychiatrist has a psychiatrist.
Yes, but she knows that he's evil. And what's her name? She was in, not Twin Peaks. She was in.
Well, if she wasn't even in Twin Peaks.
Who's in Twin Peaks?
Well, that narrows it down. She wasn't in Twin Peaks.
What's her name, please?
We're supposed to
I know, we need to find out. She's brilliant. What's her name?
Give us some clues.
Please.
You give us clues.
She was like, she's really attractive.
Okay.
And she never changes, but she's very beautifully spoken and she's got great skin and she plays a psychiatrist and she was in a thing with another lad and the minute Dibner walked in, she goes, oh my God, she's...
Is it Sigourney Weaver?
No, she wouldn't have that.
Cheryl Ladd.
No, keep going.
Farrah Fawcett Majors.
No, come back.
Bo Derek.
She was
what was she in?
She was in
Lulu.
She was in a massive thing during in the 90s.
Elsie Tanner.
No, and she sort of rejuvenated because of this. And she plays, she knows Lecter's bad.
She knows Hector.
She knows Lecter's bad, but she's with him. And then finally she disappears. But then they both shack up in.
Can you think of anything she was in?
Oh, she was in, what's that fucking thing? She was
Friends.
In America and it was huge.
What's it called? ER.
No, you're getting there.
Grey's Anatomy. Just
Grey's Anatomy.
Hannibal.
No, don't. Let's try and guess it.
She's beautiful looking in it, and she's very, very...
What show was she in America?
She was in a massive...
Dallas.
No, go back. It's closer. It's like around the time of The Wire, and she was in a massive thing, and it was a huge success, and everybody
the
knows...
The Sopranos.
That. No, yes, come on, closer.
The Wire, The Sopranos.
No, come on, give me me mobile. Quick, here we go. And I think it was her and another central character. They played cops.
Oh, Cagney, I know.
Cagney and Lacey.
It was The X-Files.
The X-Files. What's her name?
So she definitely wasn't in 20.
Gillian Anderson.
Correct.
Yes. Gillian Anderson is magnificent. I love the
way she's great like... skin.
Oh, she... But she talks like this. Do people really know who you are, Hannibal?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's quiet. And he goes, for people to know what I do, it's not for me to judge. And then she goes, I know who you are. And then it's just... Oh, it's just... But
life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
He's brilliant.
Okay,
he's,
so that's a good one. I've started watching Bad Surgeon. You need to watch that too.
What the heck is Bad Surgeon?
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Interesting. It's a true story. It's about a fellow who decided he could do a cutting edge brand new surgery where he's able to replace people's windpipes by dipping them in their own stem cells and mimicking their own windpipe. So he's basically removing their, you know, if you had cancer on their windpipe.
This isn't the young English actor who plays the bad
nurse.
No,
this isn't acted. This is all
fact.
Fact, yeah.
So you're talking about stem cells there.
So he's going around basically killing people because he's only starting the surgery. He's like, well, you know, the first person who got a heart transplant didn't survive, you know, did they not? So he's kind of, he's basically trying to become like the next top surgeon, but he's killing everybody. It's called Bad Surgeon. Interesting. And
true
then
story.
Yeah, true story. And then this woman from NBC or somewhere starts making a documentary about him, and he falls in love with her, and the story goes from there.
And is what can I ask you there? Because
it's good though. But I love all those kind of things. Those, you know,
well, what's he doing
rogue
with the stem cells?
Doctors, and he's dipping the. So he's making the. Windpipe out of like a you know, like a tube or whatever, and then dipping it in the person's own stem cells so that it's
putting it back in then.
Well, putting a new one in, you know.
Because I met a lad last week who's into stem cells.
Yeah, this is anyway. The first few episodes they didn't work out well. Do you know now that they can do on a 3D printer? They can print your brain cells. So, like in a few years, so in Oxford they have the. Scientists at Oxford University have discovered that with a 3D printer, you can print your brain cells.
Stop. What does that mean?
Mimic your brain cells, but printing them out and been able to replace them in your
making
head.
Making them. Making
and
them.
Now in Wisconsin, in the University of Wisconsin, they have actually perfected it. So like, if you had, say, dementia or you had, I don't know, something, brain cancer or whatever, eventually they're going to be able to replace your brain cells.
Hallelujah.
Have them like, have them mimic your personality so that when they go into your head that they're going to be...
I'd rather just die.
I know, imagine what imagine if they malfunctioned.
There was a time when I, when printing was printing and printing was printing for newspapers and printing, but when these 3D printers came out about 10 years ago, I couldn't get my head around it. What
so
the
weird,
capability
isn't it?
Of what a 3D printer can do is just madness.
It's insane. It's,
I can't get
I
my
still
head around
can't work
this.
It out.
That they can make anything inside this special case called a 3D printer.
But make it out of what though?
They're making it out of stuff.
Okay, like.
That's it, that nailed anyway.
We're not the scientists. You'd have to ask them.
I don't know. They can.
And they can
cure sinuses and sneezes.
Hay fever, can they do that? Because yeah. I'd fucking like that.
They could give you, the bad surgeon could replace your sinuses.
What I will say there is, just on stem cells, I met a lad last week. He said, how are you? And I said, how's it going? What's the story? And he says, oh, I'm just back from, I was out foreign. What happened? Oh, I just got a load of injections. And I said, what'd you do? He says, I got stem cell. And I looked at him again. And he looks about...
Where'd you meet him?
I met him in the gym. And he travelled...
It's a really chatty place, this gym.
Do you do any work in it?
He travelled a far way away where it's legal to get stem cell.
For what?
And he was sitting in a clinic with two other people, one well-known person from Hollywood and another ex-boxer on a global scale, massive ex-world champion. And they're lying there in a five-star clinic with the machines here and they're getting injected with stem cells.
In order to
recreate the growth, like the Bastions, like the, what's the good stuff when you're born?
The colostomy.
And that's what they're doing.
Is that right?
Yes. And they're putting...
Colostrum. Yes, but what are they doing?
They're putting colostrum and they're putting the stem cells.
But what's it doing for them?
It's rejuvenating their skin. It's making the wrinkles go away. It's giving them a vitality of life. It's upping every single facet and part of their body. And when I looked at him again as he was working out and then I met him again...
Does he look like a young fella?
He looks about 10 years younger. And he said, I'm going for another batch in about 6 months' time. And I said, you are not.
It's not legal in Ireland or anywhere.
It's not legal, but it's legal in certain countries in Asia. And I said, what the fuck? He says, yeah, man, I feel fucking great. I feel, and he's in his 50s. And he said, I feel like I'm 25 and I'm lifting more and I feel full of life and I absolutely love it. And I can't get enough of it because it's giving me a fucking, it's like Superman kryptonite. Injected.
So is it like what the cyclists do with the blood?
Yes, with a blood transfusion, what your mum was doing coming off the bike every night.
Yeah.
It's
regenerating their blood.
Regenerating, but this is regenerating stem cells. So it's almost like boom, 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 boom.
Is that dangerous?
It's the building blocks of your body that's becoming supercharged again. Like you're like, ah, come on. And
so is he constantly like Tommy on the coffee?
No, he doesn't need coffee, this lad. He's in the gym.
No, I'm saying, is he constantly up? Like,
no, he's just feeling really good about himself. He's feeling strong.
Does he ever get tired?
I don't know about that, but I didn't get into that conversation. I said, where were you? I was away.
Is he like Popeye?
Is he very fit?
He's fit as a fiddle, strong as an ox, and he's running.
Well, what's he doing it for? Is he trying to do some exercise?
He was always mad into fitness, and mad into strength. And at this stage, he said, I'm exploring different things. Same thing about nootropics, like for the brain, the vitamins for the brain, but stem cell.
Replacement therapy, is that what it's called?
Stem cell replacement therapy is a global. We've gone from Botox and
fillers. But they're his stem cells. Or is it
they're baby's stem cells. Aren't they?
What?
For them to work. Why would you take your own stem cells and a man in this?
Well, that's why people who have cancer get stem cell.
So where do their stem cells come from?
Well, I think before you get, they're removed from your body first and then they're put back into your body.
I don't know where the
stem cells. How do you get stem cells out of a baby?
I think the stem cells, I'm not sure where these come from.
I don't quote
me on this, but I don't know where the stem cells come from. They don't come, they're not manufactured. They get them from somewhere, right? But the best, most powerful stem cells in the world are the ones at initiation of life. That's when the DNA and the neutrons and all the fucking bits in your body is flying. And that's the really good stuff. And that's the good stuff that in certain countries of the world where there are medical safari tourism, people are traveling
all over
the world.
Is this where they sell their kidneys and all?
I don't know what to do there, but this country is allowed it and now it's booming. As I said, there was a very well-known boxer.
Is the Hollywood actor...
And the Hollywood actor.
Is he a good actor?
Yes.
He's a good actor?
Yeah, yeah, and very...
And a man.
And very famous.
And what age would he
be? I can't reveal any of this.
I know
this
you
is,
can't.
This is a private conversation.
He's 70, but he looks like he's
30. This is you and the lad in the gym.
Yes,
I know.
But I'm not really telling you who...
No, I don't... They were
travelling from America to...
How old is the actor?
The actor was in his late 40s.
And have you seen him in anything since?
And... I haven't really. I didn't even pass on that. I was more fixated with your man's face and telling me how good he's feeling. And I said, really? And he says, yeah, I'm unbelievable. He said, I was reading into it for years. I said, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And he flew off.
Did he say how much it was?
Yeah.
How much?
It cost about €8,000 for the afternoon.
What's the side effects? The why can't you get
you
it done
do it
here?
Every 6 months.
What's wrong with
it? It's banned in many countries. Because the research... the research doesn't allow
dangerous,
it.
Dangerous, is it?
I don't know if it's dangerous now. I just saw a lad who got it done. It didn't look dangerous to me.
Could he morph into a, like...
Haven't a clue. I don't know.
Grow a baby at the side of his face or something.
Would you be tempted?
To fly to the other side of the world to get stem cell. Isn't it funny the way we push the boundaries of the body?
See, maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe you could do that as a television show.
Pushing the boundaries of the body?
Yes.
No.
So it starts off with you in the gym. And then it says... And then,
you're getting tired.
And you're getting... You're 54 years of age and you're kind of going, I want more.
I want to be able to bench 120.
I want to be able to bench 120.
Get it under the bar. Go on.
Let's go to Asia and get baby stem cells put into my body. Oscar Ilge.
Do you want the stem cells?
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Isn't it interesting that in a gym in Galway... on the west coast of Ireland, that there's a lad there who, and I said to him, fair fucking play to you. He said, I'm feeling great. I feel really good. I feel full of life. I'm strong. I feel fit as a fiddle. Feeling good about myself. Happy.
I would have
recently divorced.
No, still for big family.
I want to know,
family.
Like, why...
successful businessman. Very successful businessman.
I want to know, like...
Pushing boundaries. So instead of going out and spending $150,000 on a car...
Was it dangerous for him? Like, I want to know, like...
This guy is full of tattoos. He's working class Galway.
Don't give us any more information.
Came from nothing. And he decided, this is what I'm going to do. So he's not a guy to splash and stuff. But what he is, he's a fitness fanatic all his life. And strength would be a real key of his life. And lifting weights. And he's been in Galway City Gym for many, 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 many years.
The gym sounds like a fairly high level of fitness and manhood.
Yeah.
And
there's a strong sounding of weights being pounded off the ground, Tommy. Yeah. It's not for
how do they welcome newcomers? It's...
Are you planning on joining?
Tommy, if you came up the stairs, you'd be better off coming in with one of the brothers because I would take you with me on your journey up the stairs.
Okay.
It's not for everybody.
In what sense?
This
intimidating.
It's not. It's you're going in there to get the work done.
Yes.
This isn't a fly by night, go in for training.
Well, you do lots of chatting in there.
Yeah, we do, but it's...
Fella gave you a poem there one time.
There's men from Connemara in, big strong men from Connemara. There's lads from the Cladda.
They could lift Tommy in
their 70s in there, pushing weights and pumping. And there's very...
If I just wanted to go in and say, start off with some small weights, just get going.
Of course,
2.5.
We can fit you in. We can fit you in. I'd like to get you in there.
Do people make noises when they're lifting?
Yeah, but that's not allowed. Somebody go over and say, don't be doing that. Don't be at that. But don't be making noises.
Well, what kind of noises would you make, Tommy?
Well, I make noise when I'm lifting stuff.
One, kind of. Go away.
Are you a counter, like 6, 7, 8?
I don't know if I can count and lift at the same time. 10.
Some people are counters and some aren't.
If a fella is like the women's tennis is making a noise, they'd say stop.
Yeah, but you won't. You get the odd lad who's going for a really massive bench or a deadlift and he's doing 300 kilos. Wow. You'll hear that.
Do fellas get injured?
Oh, not too much. And there's loads of women in there. There's some really fit women and really strong girls. And like some of the women are benching 110 kilos and 20.
And they're sinewy and strong.
Yeah, and people are just in there. But there are large people in there. They're big, strong. You don't have to be ripped in there. It's just if you're physically strong, you like to train, it's a good gym. As Freddie told me, it's like if you put in, made in black and white, you could be in Bucharest in 1974 or Sofia.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Or you could be in St. Petersburg, 1981. It gets the job done.
Okay, no frills.
No frills. But anyway, that was that man. Instead of you coming down here every morning
to smoke a cigar with a pint trying to write jokes,
you should just go to the gym and dedicate a year of it. Sawadi kap, sabadi mai. Namaste to all the gym people out there.
That's what I'll do, Hector. That is what I'll do. I'm going to dedicate a year of my life to muscle work. How do I start?
Just start tomorrow morning.
What, doing what?
Pick the right gym.
Shove one there at the back of the garden.
He does.
Hector, you're wasting your time.
Can I run the gym here? I would call it Hector's, and we'll have people coming in. We'll build a special road in the back, and we'll do classes.
You have all the equipment there.
Get in.
Well, if he won't go down to the bottom of the garden.
The delts, the rear delts, the deltoids, the fucking the shoulders, an amazing fucking mixture of 7 or 8 muscles. The shoulder, when you have right hinges, Freddie Kuganel said to me way back in the day, have good shoulders and good legs. When you have a good t-shirt on you, you know you have good shoulders. And he's right. Yeah. There are lads in Ireland and women in Ireland putting t-shirts on and shirts. Should have no shoulders.
They'll be on the chat show. They'll walk out, they've no shoulders. What happened to you?
Lost my shoulders. No gym work.
No, you've no shoulders.
First day it's Ireland. I've no shoulders down the drive.
She's like a milk bottle.
What happened to your shoulders? I never had any.
When did you first notice?
I don't know where.
My father had no shoulders. Freddie always said.
A family of no shoulders, yeah.
And you know what? The mother never had any shoulders either. And the uncle, did the uncle have shoulders?
Shoulders to shoulders. I can't have it. I was going to make that the national anthem. Shoulder to shoulder. Or fuck off. I'm going to go to Japan.
I'm off to get stem cell shoulders.
They'll grow you a pair. You can get them in a lab.
Your man went to Vietnam to get shoulders.
Come back with two sets of big, shoulders.
His name is David Duchovny and Mike Tyson. Give them their shoulders. Oh my God.
And get 3D shoulders.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, ever. Mind your shoulders.
Okay. That's it now. No more jokes, no more pints, no more cigars.
That's it. It's over.
My body is a shopping centre.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.